All right, we're continuing our study on the person of Samson and a faith that brings down the house. And today, if you want to follow along in your Bible, we'll be in Judges, the 14th chapter, verses 5 through 9. Let's read that together, shall we? As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or his mother about it. When Samson arrived at Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion, and he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in its carcass. He scooped out some of that honey into his hands, and he ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and his mother, and they ate it. But he did not tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of a lion. So I've entitled today's message, "The Lion is Lying." You like that? The lion is lying. I asked the question in the last hour as I taught online, is every win a victory? Is every win a victory? Well, let me just remind you from our last time together, Samson has been dedicated to the Lord. Samson went down to Timnah, and while he was in Timnah, he saw a little honey. Not a bee-created honey, but a God-created honey. The daughter of a Philistine, which is out of bounds for Samson, he comes back home and he says, "Mom and Dad, I want her to be my wife." And his parents refuted his desire. His parents talked to him about his desire, but ultimately his parents relinquished to his desire. And now they're on their way down to Timnah, Samson and his parents. But on the way, there's a lot of things that happen. So much that they go down and they come back and they go down again. And we're going to see how the lion is a liar. Let's look at how some may see this. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the importance of a good exegete. That means that you let the Bible tell you what the Bible means instead of eisegete, where you prescribe to the Bible what you think it means, or worse yet, what you want it to mean. Now, I have heard this passage taught in this way. Now, I am not kicking anyone. I'm not calling anyone names. I'm just saying. Let's look how some had seen that, have said they see this. They see Samson as modest because he didn't brag about the defeat of his lion. He whooped that lion, and he's so modest, so humble. He didn't tell anyone, not one word. Such a modest man. Secondly, they see him as generous for sharing the honey with his parents. Who doesn't like a little honey? And he could have eaten it all, but he's such a generous man and a caring man and a sharing man. He gave some to his parents. Thirdly, they see the honey as a symbol of the gospel. And when it's discovered, it's sweet and it's a good thing. Amen. Let me tell you, when you discover the gospel for yourself, it is sweet and good. Amen. Every day and twice on Sunday. They see the lion as a difficulty and a challenge, the trying experiences of life that he defeated under the power of the Lord. Well, the lessons of modesty, generosity, sharing the gospel, and seeing good come out of trials are valid lessons, just not from these passages of Scripture. Amen, Jay? Because Samson is filled with the spirit of rebelliousness. Now, you can make the Bible say whatever you want the Bible to say, but that doesn't mean that's what the Bible is trying to tell us. And too many times, too many preachers, too many teachers want to make it simple and tasteful for the crowd. My friends, these are wonderful lessons that we all should learn. But Samson is not the person we learned them from. You say, "Jimmy, why are you being so mean?" I'm not being mean. I'm just being truthful. I want to make sure that we walk where the Bible takes us. Samuel Rideout, that great pastor, said this: God's purposes will be accomplished in spite of my disobedience. Amen? God's purposes will be accomplished in spite of a nation's disobedience. Amen? Amen. This side believes it. This side's not sure. God's purposes will be accomplished in spite of my disobedience, but I can never use his purposes to endorse my disobedience. God will never, never, say it with me, never call us to be disobedient to him. Never. Well, but Jimmy, never. Well, Jimmy, no, never. Going down to Timnah. Have you ever been down to Timnah? You say, well, I'm not even sure what Timnah is. Well, let's look and see, shall we? His descent to Timnah, there's three times in seven verses that we see that Samson goes down to Timnah. And it would be a geographical going down. From Samson's village to the Philistine village of Timnah, there is a physical going down the mountain. But this also is an application of spiritualness as well. Samson's moral and spiritual pathway was also going downward. You see, it wasn't just a geographic downward, but there is a slow and steady fade in the heart and in the passion and in the pursuits of a believer if we're not careful. You see, the first time he went down to Timnah, well, that could have been a mistake. Oh, but the second time, that's willfulness. The third time, it's deliberate disobedience. You see, the more you go down to Timnah, the more you feel comfortable there. And the more you feel comfortable there, the more you want to be there. And the truth is, for us as believers, can I just say this? Even as unbelievers, you get too close to the flame, you get comfortable, and you get desirous. So we see Samson, who's been going down to Timnah, and we see his spiritual pathway and his moral pathway is also going downward. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes, that there's nothing new under the sun. Well, Jimmy, that's just simply not true. Oh, but it is true. Now, it's the same thing. We just may wrap it differently. Can you think of another biblical character who displayed the same type of rebellious spirit? Okay, let's put it in the box. Samson's mother is told, you're going to have a baby, and his name's going to be Samson, and you and he are going to live a Nazarite life, and I'm going to use him as a judge and as a deliverer. And Samson is raised in this. Samson is taught to this. And you know what happens? And Samson goes, I know I'm supposed to go that way, but you know what? My eyes, my mind, my heart, and my feet want to go that way. Now, I know that's never happened to any of you. I know you have never willfully and wantingly been disobedient. I know you've never done that. But who else in the Bible can we think of? Well, let me help you. There's this little cat named Jonah. Perhaps you've heard of him. Your kiddos have probably heard of him. One of the great Bible stories. One of the stories we tell our kiddos, and we talk about the great storm, and we talk about the great fish, but we're a little light on the great sin. You say, well, now, Jimmy? I say, well, wait a minute. Let's look, shall we? Jonah displayed this very attitude and behavior when God had made his will known to him. Jonah, I want you to go to the Ninevites and preach salvation. Jonah's response was this, but I don't like the Ninevites. God says, it doesn't matter what you like. Go preach salvation to the Ninevites. I don't want to go. Jonah, go preach salvation to the Ninevites. I won't go. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 3, but Jonah rose up, what? To flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, as if you can get out from the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you this? The devil may whisper in your ear, God doesn't know you're here. He knows you're there. He knows how you got there. He knows you're there, and he knows where you're going afterwards. But Jonah arose, and he sought to flee from the presence of God. So what? He went down to Joppa. Wait a minute. He went down to Joppa. He went down the mountain, down to the coastline, and caught a boat. Because he's sailing away to Tarshish. Jonah's disobedience and his rebellion took him even further down. In verse 3, we see he found a ship which was going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, and he went down into it to go to Tarshish from the presence of God. He went down. Disobedience and rebellion can gain momentum. Has that ever happened to you? Has disobedience just kind of picked up some momentum, and the next thing you know, woo, you're not running it, it's running you. Jonah chapter 1 verses 15 and 17 says, so they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow him. Now he went down to Joppa, he went down into the boat, and now he's gone down into the ocean. You remember a great storm? Everybody was fearful, and Jonah goes, I know the problem here, folks. I know the cause for this judgment. Jonah says, I'm your guy. And they cast him aside, and God creates a great fish to swallow him. Disobedience and rebellion can have unforeseen consequences. You don't have enough vision to see far enough down the road. Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Can I tell you this? When he headed down to Jaffa, he had no clue he'd be in the belly of a fish. You know why? It hadn't ever happened. I love the sinful mind. I love the lie of the devil when he tells you this. It won't happen to you. Have you ever done something and you go, wow, it won't happen to me? Bam! And you act surprised. This is a truth that you need to write down somewhere. This is a truth we need to put on a t-shirt. Sin will take us further, it will keep us longer, and it will cost us more than we ever intend to pay. I would give the man who gave that to me some 30 years ago credit if I could remember who it was. After 30 years of using it, guess what, Jay? It's mine. Jimmy says sin will take you further, keep you longer, and cost you more than you ever intended to pay. And I have seen that come true time and time and time again. You see, well, I don't know where my words were. Let me double back here, because that's just too good not to give it to you. Let me read that to you here. Rebellion always leads downward, but we can accomplish worldly goals during the descent. Ha ha! These wins are hollow and short-lived, and they'll be held into account by Christ. Is every win a victory, my friends? Mm-mm. You see, you can spiritually and morally be headed down to Timnah, and you may get a win here or there, but in the end, they're hollow, they're short-lived, and God will hold them into account. Repentance is the only pathway that leads to salvation and restoration. Amen? Taking the rebel's road. Now, I'm teasing this. In our next discipleship university, there may be two people who are going to team together to share that teaching time. One of them didn't grow up a Christian. And the other one, she did. One of them and the other followed the path of the Lord. One of them took the rebel's road and bears the scars of it. The rebel's road, taking the rebel's road, let's look. If you recall, Samson had gone down to Timnah, down the rebel's road, and he followed that road back to his parents' house, and he says, "Mom and Dad, I want that girl. I need that girl." And they said, "Oh, Samson, no. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no." And in that day and in that time, those parents had the authority to end that debate, because that culture, you didn't even get to talk to the girl without the parents' involvement. They could have. Oh, but they didn't. You see, wanting to be your children's friends more than their parents has been around a long time. They yielded not only to his sinful desires, but then they began to participate in it as they're going down to Timnah. Now, let me also say this. Rebellion is never satisfied. Rebellion always wants a little bit more. The law of diminishing returns. Now, think about this. You remember when you were young and fearless? I remember jumping off the roof of my house with an umbrella. You know why? Disney. I did. I'm telling you. If you can imagine with me, my parents weren't there. I was left to my own demise. I climb up on the roof with an umbrella, and I had 100% faith that Mary Poppins and I were going to glide on down. You know what? Gravity never takes a holiday, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what happens is you'd think Jimmy would go, "Well, I'm never going to do that again." Well, no. See, Jimmy's not that smart. Next thing you know, some years later, Jimmy's down at Lake Levan jumping off a train trestle. And you go, "Well, Jimmy's surely smart enough to stop that." No. No, because a little while longer, Jimmy's not just jumping off the train trestle, but he's carrying rocks with him, Jay, because the game is, how long can you hold the rock? And I'm the guy that you follow. Brothers and sisters, I say this, rebellion is never satisfied. When you submit to, yield to, or participate in either your rebellion or someone else's rebellion, they'll tell you, or you'll think one of these days, one of these places, there'll be a finish line. My friend, the sinful heart, the rebellious heart is never satisfied. A sinful nation, a rebellious nation is never satisfied. His parents yielded and are participating, and he will not be satisfied. We see the purposes. We see that on the way down to Timnah, if you recall, Samson veered off the road. There's the road to Timnah, and then Samson goes, "Hey, Mom and Dad, I'll catch up with you." It wasn't Christmas, so he could go shop for his parents. "I'll catch up with you." It wasn't Mom and Dad's birthday where he could go shop for them. "I'll catch up with you." No, he wanted to go through the vineyards of Timnah. So he left his parents unprotected. How do we know that? Well, there was a lion on the other path. He also left them unprovided for. "Dad, can you take care of this? I'm going to go this way. Can you take care of this? Can you carry this? Hey, Mom, can I give you my bag?" He left them unprotected. He left them unprovided for. While traveling down to Timnah, Samson walks astray of his parents through the vineyard. Now, let us remind ourselves, shall we, brothers and sisters? His mother, as well as himself, had been called to and committed to the Nazarite vow. And a part of that Nazarite vow in number 6:3 says this: "He shall abstain from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar." Who drinks vinegar? I see that hand. Okay. "Whether made from wine or strong drink, nor shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat any fresh or dried grapes." Can I ask you this? Why do you walk through a vineyard? Because you're going to eat some grapes. You might even stop off at the wine tasting booth. Can I just say this, ladies, as a dude? Dudes ain't walking through the vineyard just because it's pretty. If I'm walking through the vineyard because it's pretty, I'm taking my bride because I want her to see me being cool with pretty. Amen? 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 I know what I'm talking about. Samson has eye disease. The eye in his head and the eye of his heart, his eye disease. And you say, Jimmy, not familiar with eye disease. Oh, you've had it. You might even be suffering from it today. Ooh. Well, what does eye disease look like? Well, let Dr. Jimmy give you a prescription. It has a disdain for God's law. God, I know what you say, but it frequents places where temptations abound. I'm just going to go look, but I'm not going to buy. How many times have you done that? Whether it's a golf shop, a car dealership, anybody ever buy a motorcycle? Because you really weren't going to buy, you were just going to look and... Listen, they frequent where temptations abound. He will flirt with evil and be reckless and thoughtless. Eye disease is reckless, and we've already pointed out and given evidence that it's thoughtless. He's not thinking about his parents. Who's he thinking about? Eye. Eye disease is the center of the world. On the rebel's road, there should always be an expectation of danger. We talked earlier about the lie of the devil that it'll never happen to you. My friends, on the rebel's road, there's always danger. It might be chihuahua-sized danger. It might be lion-sized danger. But I promise you, on the rebel's road, there will always be danger. Personal danger. For Samson, it was a lion. For Jonah, it was a storm. Relational danger, when you're on the rebel's road, it might be the wrong person, the wrong time, or the wrong thing. Amen? Thirdly, professionally, if you live your life with get all you can all you get, and sit on the can, that's problematic. If you're willing to cut corners and cut throats to get ahead, that's problematic. Because I'm going to tell you what, whoever you climb up going up, they're going to stand on you on the way down. The rebel's road says I'll get ahead regardless of whose head I've got to get. And unless God intervenes, the lion on the rebel's road, it will devour you. It may not be all at one time. But like that great song of so many years ago says this, it'll be a slow fade. It'll be a slow fade. And I don't remember who to give this credit to, but it said this recently, and I'm going to tell you what, this is bouncing around in the halls of my head. It says this, darkness never overcomes light. It simply occupies the space light has vacated. Let that noodle around. When you're on the road of rebellion, the lion will always win. I remember once my parents took me and my family. We went out to, what's the casino place in New Jersey? Brian, you know. See, I knew you knew. My parents took me to Atlantic City. We were on our way to New York. And I'm walking in. I had never been in a casino ever in my life. Now, at this point, Atlantic City was really thriving and jiving. And listen, if you've ever been around, if you've ever gone to Vegas or Atlantic City, they don't make those places look ugly and shabby. And I'm looking, and I'm walking, and I'm going, wow, look at this. And the whole time, my dad's reminding me, hey, listen, they don't build these things with their own money. You know, the house always wins. Like I was going to become whatever. Listen to me. On the road of rebellion, the lion always wins. And we see an escape from the lion. First of all, it was a miracle. The Bible says that the power of the Lord came upon him. He became Johnny Atlas. He became Arnold Schwarzenegger. No weights lifted. Supernatural power. He may have looked like me. I walk out there and lift a car and you go, wow. It was miraculous. God intervened into this man, and through him, he whooped that lion really easy. Secondly, there was mercy. You say, how is this merciful? Samson was in the wrong place. He shouldn't have been in the vineyard. He was on the wrong path. He wasn't with his parents. And he's going down to Timnah. And thirdly, he's going for the wrong purposes. He's going to willfully be disobedient to God. He's going to willfully choose to break his covenant with God. But God's mercy was upon him. Woo! That means for you and me, no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God's mercy is sufficient for you, amen? Now we need to go tell them. Amen? Thirdly, we see there was a misapplication. Samson whoops that lion and he goes, well, look at me. God must be checking off what I'm about to do. You remember what we talked about? God wasn't checking off on his sinfulness. God was being gracious and merciful. Don't you mistake the two. And greater than that, don't you take for granted. Thirdly, or fourth, the message was this, repent. God saved him from the lion that he might go, woo, I'm going this way, but I need to repent and go back that way. There was still time. Samson hadn't gone all in yet. He had time to repent. God saved him for the hope of redemption. But the choice was his. Lastly, there was a muteness. Do you see? He wanders off from his parents and does whatever it is he do. He defeats the lion, kills it barehanded, way I used to hunt. And then on the way back, he slips back by there and there's this honey. They may gross you out, I don't know. But he decided, scoops at the honey and it starts tasting good. And what did you remember what it said? On the way back home, or on the way down, back down to Timnah actually, he gives it to his parents. You see, not only is Samson unclean and sinful, but now he's made his parents biblically unclean and sinful because they were not only supposed to not touch the lion, but not consume from the carcass. Why didn't he tell him? You know why? It's because when God's people are being disobedient, they don't want to tell nobody. A good sinner wants to brag on what he's done. But when God's people are in purpose rebellion, you don't want to tell anybody. Reminds me of a story. It was a Sunday morning, much like this Sunday morning. Cold and crisp. And a pastor woke up, as pastors do on Sunday morning. But this Sunday morning was different than other Sunday mornings. This Sunday morning, the pastor woke up. He stepped outside in his porch and he looked at the weather and he looked at the dew on the ground, and deep inside him was a desire to play golf. And it just worked on him, Jane. It just worked on him, Jane. It just worked on him. And finally, he succumbed to it. He calls up his associate pastor. Josh, I'm just not going to be able to go today. Can you take it? No. Don't come over and check on me. I'll be okay. He hangs up the phone, loads up his clubs, and head out to the country club. When he gets there, he's the first guy on the course. No other footprints. He steps up to the first tee box, a par three. He tees it up, and he strikes that ball as clean and as straight as he's ever struck a ball. That ball lands on the green, bounces once, bounces twice, bounces three times. And then, it goes right into the hole. A hole in one. Well, Gabriel's standing next to God, and Gabriel says, God, why would you do that? This man isn't where he should be. He's not doing what you called him to do. He lied to his associate pastor, and he's out here, and you give him a hole in one, and God says, well, who's he going to tell? Can we all agree? Honey is sweet. And like I said earlier, Samson had a honey problem. He had a problem with the honeys that God made, and he had a problem with the honeys that bees make. God had a honey problem. Excuse me, Samson had a honey problem. Do you remember what I told you I wanted you to remember? Deliberate disobedience is a dangerous choice. Who? For ourselves and for others. Samson's deliberate disobedience is dangerous for him and for his parents. You see, the lion was lying. A win isn't always a victory. And so I want to leave us with a couple of questions. First of all, are you ready? Has there ever been a time and a place in your life where you have received Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Or are you still on the road of your own? Now, you may not be deliberately disobedient, but you see, there's only one God in our life. Either it's us or Him. And if it's not Him, then it's you. And if it's you, then you've got the eye disease. But the beautiful thing is this, is God says, wherever you are, I'll be there for you. My grace and mercy is sufficient for you. Christ was born, died, and was resurrected to give us the opportunity to be redeemed off the road of rebellion, out of the penalty of rebelliousness, and into the relationship with God. And you say, Jimmy, are you sure about that? Well, Acts 3:19 says this, repent and turn to God. Repentance means changing your mind, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Can I ask this from you? Do you need refreshing? For me, the day I got saved, the day I gave my life to Christ, the day I trusted in Jesus, I was just so wore out and tired of chasing the lion. I thought I had the world by the tail, but the world just had me. And it seems like every avenue I went trying to satisfy the thirst in my heart was always dissatisfying. There was no end to the pursuit. My friend, if you're here today, and my friend, if you're with me by the way of the internet, today is the day, the Bible says, that you should trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Today is the day you can be delivered from the road of rebellion and placed upon the road of righteousness. The Bible says that if we will confess Christ with our mouths and repent of our sins, He will save us. It's not what you do or you don't do. It's the attitude of the heart. It's your faith that saves you. And if you're with me today by the internet, or if there's someone here in the worship center with me and you've never trusted Christ, I want to give you that opportunity today. I would whisper a prayer something like this one from your heart to God's heart. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's just words. It's the attitude of the prayer. Is this what you really mean? I can say for me, the day I received Christ as my Savior, this prayer was exactly what I meant. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and no one looking around. For those of you at home, if you'll make sure to lay everything aside, this is a point of significant decision. If today you would like to place your faith in Jesus Christ, and you'd say, Jimmy, I didn't come to church today to get saved. Okay, I didn't either. You say, Jimmy, I didn't turn you on the internet to get saved. Okay, that's fine. But here we are. And if God's truth is now your truth, and you know in your heart that you need, you know in your heart you want something more, my friend, the path is Jesus. And I would whisper a prayer from your heart to the heart of God, something like this. And you can repeat this after me if you would like. I would pray something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that there's nothing I can do to save myself. I confess my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin or to work my way to heaven. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who bore my sin when He died on the cross. I ask for the forgiveness only You can offer, and ask your son, Christ Jesus, to be my Savior. Help me to know and to love you more day by day, and give me a home in heaven when my life on earth is through. My friends, that prayer from your heart to the heart of God, if that is absolutely what you mean, the Bible tells us that you have been translated, you have been redeemed from the road of rebellion to the road of righteousness. And I want to invite you to share that with me so I can celebrate with you and that I can help you as you begin this new journey. Listen, let me tell you this. Living with Christ and for Christ is not always easy, but it's always worth it. Do not hear me say that all of your problems will go away, but do hear me say this. It is better to have Christ with you in your problems than for you to face your problems without him. Let me also say this. When we're not walking the road of rebellion, it's amazing how many of our problems tend to go away. So I want to ask you to do this. If you're with me by the way of the internet and you just trusted Christ your Savior, you see on the screen what I'd like for you to do. Simply text, "I trusted Christ today," and that number, that's my number. You'll be texting me directly. And I would be honored for you to share that with me. Let me ask, is there anyone in this worship center this morning that would say, "Jimmy, that's me today. I trusted Christ." Would you just slip your hand up where I could see it? You say, "Jimmy, that's me." Anybody? Now, for the rest of us, I want to ask you this question. For those of you that know Christ, for those of you that are walking with Christ, let me ask you this question. Is there any rebellion in your life? Is there anything right now that God would have you to repent of, to turn your back on? And if there is, you know exactly what it is. You can see it in your mind's screen. Now, my friend, my question to you is this, is if God has brought rebelliousness to your mind, what will you do with it? It may be only you and he knows it. But right now, you have an opportunity to recognize, to repent, and to reject that rebelliousness. Would you pray? Would you pray and say, "God, I agree with you that what I'm doing is rebelliousness. God, I agree with you that what I'm doing is sin. God, I agree with you that I need to repent. I need to change my mind and I need to change my direction. Lord, take me off this road of rebelliousness and return me to the pathway of righteousness." My friend, the beautiful thing about the love of God is it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. When you recognize and repent, God will always restore. He loves you, and Christ died for you. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, if there is a seed of rebellion in our heart, Lord, if there is a desire for rebellion, Lord, if there is a pursuit of rebellion, Lord, if there is a pathway of rebellion, Father, I pray that you would speak into our minds, into our hearts, and call us home. Lord, that we as the prodigal would turn and raise our eyes to the Lord and realize that the way of the world will never, ever meet the way of the Lord. Lord, forgive us, redeem us, and set us on the pathway of righteousness. Lord, do it for your glory. Father, do it for our own good. And Lord, would you do it for the benefit of a world that is lost and hurting and in need of the light of Jesus Christ that we can deliver. For it's in his name that we ask these things. Amen.